The Beer with Friends podcast is pre-recorded in the D2R studios. It is intended for an audience of 21 and older. Please drink responsibly and stay hydrated. So, Chuck, tell me what you had while you were on your way to Carson's wedding up in Minnesota that we haven't had commercially. I've had it, but you actually had it in a retail package rather than just on draft.
And you had it at Darkness. Is when you had it.
Yeah.
Todd the X-Men.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Todd the X-Men?
X-Men.
Okay. Like, almost like a guitar.
And it was expensive. And I went into a cool, it was the Green Door, what the bar was, because it was a bar / liquor store. And I went into it.
And it was in Duluth, right?
No, it was north of Duluth.
Okay.
But it was still on 50, whatever the fuck that road is up there. And it was hilarious because we were coming around a bend, and I see this huge barrel on a sign, wood oak barrel, and it says beer, the Green Door Bar, and then craft beer. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen anything to the likes of craft beer or
other
anything
than just a
marketing
convenience store.
Yes, and this is a big marketing sign that says craft beer too. And I look, it was literally like dog. Squirrel! And I was like, craft beer! And I pulled squirrel! It was awesome because it was coming around a bend.
Right.
And it was down a hill around a bend, and there's no curbs or nothing, into a huge turn-in into a gravel parking lot. So it was, like, absolutely perfect for you to just go, beer! Right. And, like, make that split decision and not put anyone in peril. And I walked in, and the bartender was the owner / everything, man.
Right.
And I saw when I pulled up, they had a Third Street? Is that in Minnesota?
Yeah, it's a Minnesota brewery.
I was like, alright, so, worst case scenario is I'm going to get some decent Minnesota stuff, you know what I mean? And not that Third Street's necessarily, it's decent, but, you know, not that I particularly want any or like any of their beer, mm-hmm. per se, but I was like, so, you know, at least they got a nice sign out front, which means, you know, they're somewhat dabbling in craft beer. And I walked in, and it was a nice looking, you know, kind of rustic bar forward, and then off to your right hand side was a small liquor store with probably 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 coolers and beer stacked
everywhere. Tell them about the proprietor of the place. How it was just like a hippie.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he had a Third Street. He was a cool dude. He had a Third Street sweatshirt on. He was clearly baked. And I was like, sweet. And he's like, he was just, you know, I was like, awesome. You know, I was like, you guys got some Surly? You know, I was expecting to find Surly here.
Right.
You say craft beer. I definitely was expecting it. I was like, you got any coffee? And he's like, no, man, we're out of that. And I was kind of just looking around. I was like, oh, so you got some smoke, and he had a couple of the other, like, the 15.
Yeah, he'd been doing some smoke.
Yeah, right, he was.
I was going to ask you, how many times did he call you man?
Yeah, they're like, 2, 3. Yeah, he was explaining some beers. I think he's just getting into having, like, a large amount of craft beer and selling it. Because, I mean, the people who were pulling up, whatever town this was, there's a big mine right there. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, a lot of the dudes who were pulling in were just going in and buying, you know, cases of swag. And they're literally getting off their mine job. They look like they just fucking crawled out of the mine.
Coughing dirt.
Yeah. Seriously. I didn't realize that there was a mine there. And I saw, like, 3 dudes. And, I mean, their hair's all jacked up. They had some big old Carhartts on. They looked like construction workers, just if they were just, like, sooty.
Right.
You know, just, like, in every crack in the city. Yeah. And I was like, damn, that dude's fucking dirty. And then the dude comes out, and that's when we were going in, and as I was coming out, and other dudes were pulling up, I was like, damn, those dudes are pretty dirty. But they're like in and out with, you know, their case of swag, right. In and out, you know. And I was talking to him, and he's like, man, I tried to get some wet. He's like, you know, he's like, I tried to get some abrasive, man, I couldn't get that, you know. My guy only got 3 cases, and I was like, well, you definitely need to put in for some abrasive next year when you can get it in January. I was like, it's some damn good beer. I was like, I see you got some other stuff here. I was like, sweet, you got Todd the Axeman. And it was expensive. But I looked at it, and the damn thing was only, you know, it was like 10 days old, canned. I was like, well, fuck it. I don't care if it's $18. I'm not getting it anywhere else at the moment. Right. This thing is 10 days old. Eric already told me it's a 4.25, 4.5. Awesome beer, you know, between 4 and 4.5, let's right. say, awesome beer. So I already have confirmation that it's a good beer. I don't need to just guess. Plus, I love their beer anyway, so I bit the bullet, and it was fucking delicious. I went and I fell asleep, and because I was tired, and we had a couple hours before we went to the campground for dinner. Because, I mean, I drove in 8 hours, 8.5 hours now, 9 hours was in the car. So I was tired, and Gina's like, I'm going to have a beer. And I was like half falling asleep, like, oh, fuck. I want one, too. As I was laying down, I just couldn't help it. I had to fall asleep for like 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah.
But it was definitely delicious when I had it. It was a good freaking beer. I would definitely go out of my way to get some more of that. It was pretty awesome. And it's a collaboration.
With another,
with another brewery from Denmark or some shit like that.
Collaboration.
Yeah, and they named they made a beer called Todd the Axeman, as I understand it, and they named it that because of him being Todd, and he's the Axeman for the band.
Welcome to the Beer with Friends podcast. I am your host, Eric, the Beer Father. Back in action, another fun-filled episode of craft beer drinking. Here with the Three Amigos cast, Three Floyds cast, I guess. Sitting with me is the newly named producer Ryan, the Beer Ninja.
Beer Ninja.
We'll let Ryan. Maybe we should just let Chuck listen to this week's episode, the most recent episode, to figure out why he's called the Beer Ninja.
Well, the Great Taste, Live at Great Taste.
Live at Great Taste.
They have a cricket in the studio, by the way.
Oh, sweet.
Oh, so when we're quiet, it's a cricket noises.
You didn't hear it?
I heard it. Yeah. I've got some cicadas hanging out in my basement, so I completely understand.
We got to
make
it makes the cats go crazy.
Yeah.
They don't want to go downstairs and.
There it is.
Yep.
He's rubbing his ass to yours.
He's like, hey, I have something to say about that beer.
Let's get him a mic.
Yeah. And back from his trip to the Great North.
Great White North.
Great White North.
Yes, the North Shore.
Chuck the Beef.
You always had.
The Canadian coast.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Right on the coast of Lake Superior, right?
Yes, correct. Way the hell up there.
They were wearing, the pictures I saw, they were wearing actual coats.
It was cold.
Was it?
Yeah, in August.
I think you brought the cold back with you.
It was August. It was when we left here, it was 80, it was like 90 degrees when we left here. We got up there, it was 58. In Grand Marais.
In August.
In an 8-hour drive. Just an 8-hour drive straight north.
8-hour drive north.
40-degree water, and it does not help that situation, though.
Well, it was 40-degree water in Madison, too, a couple weeks ago.
75.
Well,
still.
It fell a lot colder than 75.
Yeah. So, yes, we're all back from our adventures, and we're actually getting ready to embark on a new adventure.
We are.
Of this airing, the Screw City Beer Fest is 2 days away.
And I will not be missing that great adventure.
We will all be.
Chuck will be for live recording on that one.
Yes.
We will have.
Elbow intact.
We will have the entire crew there, if I'm not mistaken. We will have Corey there.
Okay.
We will have.
Dennis?
We will have Sandy Vagina.
Sandy Vagina will be there?
Oh, yeah.
And his wife.
In all the glorious sandiness.
Monchichi will be there.
And his grittiness.
We'll even get a chance, hopefully, to talk to Big John.
Will Mammoth be there?
It's he possible. Should be. Yeah, I would assume.
I would assume he'll be there.
Yeah, in some fashion. Yeah,
I'll be there. Chuck be there.
Yeah, absolutely, will be there.
The amount of time I'll be there is kind of under question.
How long is this one relation to the Great Taste?
So it's the same amount of time if you're a VIP member.
Mm-hmm.
It's an hour shorter if you're just a general admission.
Yeah,
it's noon to six. There's a noon to five. Noon to 5:30 if you're VIP.
and it's 1 to 5:30 if you're. So it's a half an hour shorter than.
It's always 4:30 for me. I don't even know.
Yeah, I don't know. It might even be 6, but I want to say I can't remember a time where we've ever been there past 5:30.
That first VIP hour just.
Yeah, if you're there for VIP, it's 250 people for the first hour. So I mean, everything is spread out. You've got, you know, close to 50 breweries for 250 people. So. I mean, there are some significant lines in that first hour, depending on what places are pouring what, but it's still not as bad.
Not even close.
You probably want to get the stuff that, you know, once whole the thing opens,
comes in, yes.
You want to get that right then.
Yeah, you kind of almost go ape for the first hour just to get everything out of the way, so you're not fighting.
If I was a VIP, I would have tasted all of them by the time that first hour is done.
Okay, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, tasted a lot. I think I was the winner, and I was still standing. I was coherent, kind of, and I was having conversations.
The goal is to try to get about 8 to 10 in.
In the first hour?
Yeah. Mind you, these first hour beers
are... Great taste, I had that in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, so mind you, some of these first hour beers are like all your... Special pours at great taste. They're all barrel aged Insanity beers. You know what I mean?
In the first hour?
Most part, yes.
Man.
Yes.
We got to work out that VIP because barrel aged is my favorite.
But here's the thing. Here's the deal. Here's the deal as well. You pretty much want to show up at that point in time, too, because the first person in gets that stuff, too.
Right.
So there is a reason to be first in line.
General admission. You don't want to come when we come at like 8:45 and literally stand in line for an hour waiting to get in.
Yeah.
Just so that you're not, because that line.
8:45.
Yeah, I don't know where the hell that came from. I was going to question 8:45.
Swear, did I say 8?
Yeah. I get there at 8:45, but that's more than an hour.
11:45. We usually get there between 11:30 and 11:45 because they let you in, they give you your glass and everything, and you can kind of. Because this is one where
the list is about
50-50. Only about half of the places
bring some awesome shit.
Give a list ahead of time.
Okay.
And then the other half, you have to wait till you get there to look through the program.
Yeah. And not everyone pours super special stuff right away.
Right.
But
some places will do like the taste, and it'll be like right in the middle of the day. You know, 3 o'clock will be a big time. 4 o'clock will be a big time. And then some will wait till the last hour of the day too. Like the biggest one of the top 10 beers of the day will pour at 5 o'clock, and they always do.
Yes, they do.
So
you're probably, you know, probably three of the top 20 are 4:35.
Yeah,
for sure. That's just
so just to save Ryan's spot in line, everybody that's listening to this podcast 2 days before the festival, if you have general admission tickets, just show up at 1 o'clock.
Yes.
Yeah. And
the line moves quick. It really did at Great Taste. But then, like,
the line moves quick at Screw City, too.
It moves. They've done a lot better.
Yeah, because
year five, the first couple of years, it was.
I'm going to be there at 8:45.
It was pretty brutal. And not that I've ever had a general admission ticket. I've always paid the extra for the VIP, and I've always been glad I did. But just from hearing from Manchichi in the past. The 1 year he showed up at 12:30 and he didn't get into the festival until 1:30.
Right. But mind you, people were buying tickets at that point in time.
That was one of the first years where they still had tickets available for sale.
Yeah, it was like the first
second
year.
So it was slowing that line down as well.
Now everyone has
their
tickets.
They should have a separate ticket area.
I mean,
they don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's all streamlined now, so that's not an
issue. Now it is like the Great Taste where there is a huge tent set up and there are
people checking IDs and putting wristbands
on. Exactly. And then
there's a guy handing out glasses, and then there's a guy handing out programs, and, you know, there's a guy checking people's backpacks. And
both sides of the fold-out table have their designated
ID. Did your backpack get checked at Great Taste?
No.
Neither did mine. They didn't even care. Everybody had one, though.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. They usually did.
I've never been checked at
Gina
the Great Taste.
Gina has had her purse checked, I want to say. But
I've never had my bag checked at the Great Taste.
Yeah.
I guess they only check sketchy ones. I don't know.
What's sketchy? At the Great Taste, what's sketchy? Like a suit and tie? Is that the sketchy
like
person? Because, I mean, a hippie is like non-sketchy, right? You know, I mean, dreadlocks and, you know. Well,
they probably have to, like, it's one of these things, like, at the airport that randomly select someone that you know doesn't have anything, so you don't have to really do anything.
Right.
Oh, she doesn't have anything. Got me, I'm going to need to see your purse. Okay, thank you. You know, it's one of those.
Right.
Like, you pick the old lady that's getting on the airplane. Yeah, because she's going to have a bomb.
Well, she might.
Yeah, under the wheelchair.
Well, back to the beer.
Yes, what are we drinking?
So, we have our pregame beer, our warm-up beer, was General Sherman IPA from the Tioga Sequoia Brewing Company out of the San Joaquin Valley of California. And this was a gift from the Perfect Pour podcast.
Yes.
They sent us, yeah.
How many?
They sent us a box of beer back. We've got a bunch of West Coast only style beers. We got, I want to say, 5 or 6 bombers, that bottle, and 3 or 4 cans. So about the same as what I sent out to them.
How many are we trying on today's episode?
2.
We're trying 2. This 2. Is
so this is number 1. This is their everyday IPA from this brewery in the Fresno area. It is, to me, it's just a straight up West Coast IPA through and through.
I think it's tasty.
It's got good piney, it's citrus notes. We found out from the bottle, just doing a little research quick, that General Sherman is the largest tree in the world.
Yeah, largest living tree.
Living tree.
Wow.
So, that redwood forest up there in California.
That's something I'd always wanted to see.
Yes, well,
maybe
me too.
Someday soon. We're talking about in the next year for and sure. a half or so.
I think you have to do that before you die.
Yeah. Making a trip to...
Well, I'll go hold hands around
Northern California to do Pliny the Younger at Russian River.
Mm-hmm.
It's on my do before I turn 40 checklist, so we're losing time here, folks. Right. We got a year and a half.
Oh, geez.
Final countdown?
Yeah. And while we're there, we might as well check out the woods and stuff. So
check out the woods. Let's get lost in the woods, man.
Let's get lost.
Check out the woods.
Bring some General Sherman and drink it at the base of the tree.
Yeah.
Pour out a little for a homie.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't.
It grows like a foot as soon as it gets taste that beer.
As you get tackled by a ranger in a state park for drinking.
Yeah.
Taste. I don't know if it's legal or not, but I'm not sure.
If you're drinking a beer named after the tree.
Okay, they tase you with a less force taser. Yeah. I mean, it's like.
That should be okay, but only that beer.
They have tase you.
So I'm going to give this this beer here. This beer here. I have it as a solid.
I've rated
3.75.
4.
3.75.
Okay. Eric, give it a 4.
4.375.
I like it. I would buy it. I mean, if I was over there, I would definitely buy this.
Yeah, I could drink it.
Yeah.
So thanks, guys, for the first of many beers that we're going to be drinking of yours. Hopefully, we'll be featuring another episode that's more related to tonight's theme, our loosely based theme. Ryan is going to hit his 300th unique beer.
I'm about to hit it in...
after this beer.
Let's see here. Let's just verify, make sure. I just checked in my
299th.
Ooh! So we're going to let you pick...
this next beer...
we're going to let you pick what you want, then.
I can't lift it.
Beer Ninjas. 300th beer.
It will bust
so our choices tonight are Cali Creamin', Vanilla Cream Ale... from Mother Earth Brewing Company.
And this is a perfect pour.
Perfect pour beer.
Okay.
We have Spiteful Brewing Company Goddamn Vanilla Pigeon Porter.
Okay.
I would say very strong candidate.
I agree.
We have Pipeworks Dreamsicle, which is an orange and vanilla Imperial Pale Ale. We have Local Boy... Colt Seberg's Vanilla Wafer Porter from ModCraft Brewing. And finally, if we want to do it kind of out of turn, it doesn't bother me any, we can do the Prairie Bomb.
Prairie Bomb.
Which is a barrel-aged coffee and vanilla beer with chilies. It's your call.
You said barrel-aged. That's a...
we don't have to wait till the end.
Have you had which ones of these?
I have not had any of these beers on the table either.
Wow, so believe that makes 3 of us.
Yeah, believe it or not, I have not. But I think if I'm not, well, yes, no, I have not. I have not had Vanilla Pigeon Porter. I'm pretty damn sure I haven't.
Well, let's see here. This is going to be the Prairie Brown was what we're going to end on, right?
We could end on that just because it's barrel aged, but it's not like it's this year, so it's not like it's a beer from the cellar. So, All right. Now, see, now we're saying nothing, and the cricket keeps quiet.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have anything to say either.
That is pretty funny.
He's having a hard time deciding.
Let's go to the cricket to decide.
To break the tie.
I don't know. Well, let's just do the bomb.
Okay.
Screw it.
I have not had vanilla.
Let's make this the barrel age for 300.
The BA3-00.
I'm excited.
Now, the brewer that they use for their coffee, I want to see if anybody knows how to pronounce this. Nordagios. Nordagios?
I got to look at it.
Nordagios? And once you got to the Nordagg, that's when I got confused.
Naginos? I don't freaking know.
It's a little Bomber glass. Now we're being listened to.
I would say Nordagios.
Nordagios.
Like Maggio?
We've been flagged.
G-G-I-O-S is like...
It's Prairie Bomb.
Yeah.
Prairie Bomb.
Stop. Stop.
I think you can get away with like a...
Imperial Stout aged on coffee.
12 bombs, and then you're going on the list.
Chile peppers.
Ooh. Chile. Now this was just recently tapped at the Olympic.
This particular beer?
That's where I saw that. I knew I had seen this before today, and I was like...
Yeah, they had...
In my head, I was thinking, where the fuck did I see
this? Two nights earlier, they had a Prairie... Not necessarily a tap takeover, but they did have four different Prairie beers on tap. Recently, Shelton Brothers was able to partner up and get Prairie Artesian Ale's distribution, so they're helping out with distributing it past where they've been in up to this point. And I believe Prairie is a Michigan brewery.
And we could get these in the burbs, correct? Benny's had this.
Oh, this is in Oklahoma.
Did they not have
Krebs
this in the
Brewing
burbs?
Company, Krebs, Oklahoma. And it says bottled by our friends at Shelton Brothers.
Okay.
So it's officially being distributed by Shelton Brothers now.
Nice.
I know in the past, as a trader, that this is a beer that trades quite well.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
So, I'm sure this kind of hurts the value delicious. A little bit, but...
Who cares?
It makes it easier for a guy like me to get it.
It does smell good.
Ooh, chocolate.
Mm. Yep, chili. Chili. Pepper.
Coffee.
And
this,
not in
this
a bad
gonna be
way.
This is going to be a 5 for me?
I don't know. Do you like spicy?
I don't know.
I like that smell.
Yeah, it smells good. Good coffee
and
smell.
And it's not a overpowering taste either.
No, I get coffee, vanilla, and then the chili. Maybe a little chocolate in between there, but I gotta...
Now, I've been told this is probably better fresh than it is aged, because the vanilla...
I could agree.
...and the coffee definitely fall off.
You know how that
yeah,
is.
Especially the coffee always seems to.
I would agree that this is probably better fresh.
What all's in this?
Your mama.
Coffee.
Your mama.
Vanilla,
okay.
Cocoa nib.
What's a nib?
It's just nibs of cocoa.
Oh, okay. So in other words, it could have said bits.
Yeah. I don't think it's melted into bars. I think it's before it's melted into bars.
Vanilla beans and chili peppers.
Chili peppers.
No, I don't know. I'm not a chocolatier. Ask a chocolatier what the hell a cocoa nib is.
Yeah.
It's a nib of cocoa.
What's a nib, though? That's what I want to know.
Oh, about the size of your... About size
nib
of
my football
thumb
rules.
Thumbnail. Yeah, about the size of your thumb. The top tip of your thumb. I'm going to go with that's the size of a nib.
All right.
That's what a nib is.
I just stuck
where
Happy
Gilmore went to high school.
Nib.
Nib high football rules. Yeah,
that's right.
I need that drop.
All of that was made up, and I have absolutely no way to corroborate any of the nib stuff.
But the dog... Society.
We are all dumber.
The little boy was lost.
It's better on the second sip.
Mm-hmm. Well, they make a Christmas bomb, too.
Yep.
That's something I was going to ask you guys. What's the difference, like, what makes a Christmas beer?
Spices.
Like, is it all spices?
Nutmeg, cinnamon...
Okay, so it's
different kinds
of
spices, the flavor profile for sure.
Okay, are we gonna do Christmas beer?
We definitely could.
All spice, a lot of them. I'm not
for Halloween. Are we doing a lot of pumpkin beers?
It would be really hard to do.
I like that. Looking
like
forward.
For Christmas time, it would be really hard to do all Christmas beers because some of them are so bitey,
right?
That by the second or third one in, your taste buds are just gonna be shot,
right?
But Yeah, I mean, it'll be coming up here soon because, you know, this episode will be releasing on September 10th.
And we got Halloween coming up. And then
technically,
we got, Thanksgiving
September
beers.
Is Oktoberfest year month.
Okay.
In Germany, they celebrate Oktoberfest in September, not in October. That's a misnomer.
So we got some German beers.
I believe they do
so we're going to do actual German beers, and then we're going to do craft Oktoberfest beers. So,
and then we get, and then you get your,
and then we'll do pumpkin beers around Halloween, somewhere in between Halloween and Thanksgiving. Right. Is when I think we'll do pumpkin.
Be curious
beers.
If they have like a.
You're both leaving out the best beer season though, that falls in between there. Between, by far the best beer
between
season.
Between Oktoberfest and pumpkin beers.
Between September and October. Between all those beers.
Oh, the fresh hops.
Yes, is
well,
the
we'll
best.
Get into that too.
Yes, the best fresh.
So
all
some
the
good
hops,
time
the best all the hops yes. are being yes. harvested, like within the next few weeks, and fresh hop beers will be dropping. And it'll just be a hoppy.
Oh, it's so good! It's so different. And good.
So we won't have Dennis on for a while.
Yeah, those ones he might actually like. It's different though. Right. It's way different. It's just so much. Oh, Founders Harvest is so fucking good.
So.
But yes.
Man, this is a sipper.
Yeah, back to the.
Oh, I only had 12 ounces.
Yeah, this isn't one I don't think you could just slam.
Oh, I could try.
This is one you'd. Well, I could try it.
Like, give it a fighting chance. Give it a fighting chance, eh?
Oh, yeah. What are we doing second? Or next? I think we'll do this one next.
Okay.
Fair enough. I'm back in there. So I should probably vote first, huh?
Yeah.
I love the label. It's a nice label. Nice old timey, I guess, what would be like an Oklahoma fair kind of shooting.
Yeah, carnival.
Gallery, yeah. Targets, or, you know, dartboard targets. I like it.
I like it.
The nibs definitely set it off.
Yes. The nose subtle.
It's all about them nibs.
Yeah. And the chili actually does more to, like, brighten up your taste buds than
it
does to burn.
Almost, yeah.
What beer did we have that had a lot of spice in it at Great Taste?
Did we all have it, or did you have it?
I don't know.
I didn't have any
you
spicy
You didn't have any
beers,
spicy beers? No. I must have had that. It must have been me and Dennis, then. I swear I had something, and then I don't remember now. Damn it. Sorry for bringing it up.
That's fine.
I could have sworn
to go.
We all had
I'm
that.
All mad because I missed out.
No, there was a beer. And,
was it
and
that pumpkin beer that you had with him? Did it have a lot of that kind of spice to it, or was it spicy spice?
I don't remember. I need the book, and honestly, I don't think the book would do me any good. I just remember I first took a sip, you didn't taste any of the spice, and like every sip after that, it was like...
more and more and more.
Yeah, it was like... It's like when you do a shot of tequila or something, and you've got that kind of burn going down.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like, and whatever it was... It was good.
This reminds me a lot of the very first time I had KBS.
This reminds me more of the this reminds me a lot of Abraxas.
Yeah, the
it's
cinnamon.
Not
that's
there.
A good movie.
It's almost but there's chili powder. There's chili peppers in Abraxas.
Yeah, but I just get more
there's
cinnamon
out
of those.
Out of Abraxas, yeah. I mean, that's the difference, I guess.
I think
just
I'm
the mouthfeel
is not as good as Abraxas, but
just the mouthfeel and the original the first initial coffee hit just kind of reminds me a little bit of KBS. That's all.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Happy 300, by the way.
Yes. Thank you.
Jerk
that's
face.
Exciting. Jerk face. What are you on, like 2000 something like?
No,
that?
I don't even know.
1300.
No, yeah, something like that. I'll have to look.
Do you want
to
water me?
I can't remember. I can't remember. I think it's better than 4. I know it's better than 4.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's worthy of a 4.5. That's what I'm struggling with.
There's
a 4.3333.
Yeah, I'm right there.
That first sip, something about that first sip, what was left in my mouth, it wasn't a good whatever, and it got better the more I drank it.
Yeah,
but there's something weird on that first aftertaste.
It's not super duper cold.
No.
But I wonder what this would taste like if we would have drank it at room temperature.
And it's boozing up every...
So we
every sip I take is definitely the booze is definitely.
That's why it's.
But I like that.
Maybe that's why I was getting better towards the end. But that, do you guys notice after that first sip the aftertaste being weird?
No, I'm getting a little hot.
That's why I asked what was in it because I was like, what is that I'm tasting right now?
The back roof of my mouth now is where the chili's kind of laying.
The chilies don't bother me there.
No,
I think it's the nibs.
Yeah,
something there's something there that was weird.
It's a 4.5.
Yeah, I'm gonna stay with 4.5.
It's a 4.5 for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna round up on my 4.33.
If I was drunk, I would even maybe give this a 4.75. If I was already drunk and on my way at a festival, you know what I'm saying? I could see this being one of those beers where I was like, man, I love that beer, and then have it the second time being like, oh, this isn't as good as if I was drunk.
So we should have waited.
No,
till the end.
Lesson learned.
Nope. No,
now, that was when we should have let get closer to room temperature and had at the end. That would have been a good end beer. And that's what you wanted to do, but I fucked it up.
No.
For my 300.
I don't think so.
So I just wanted a bomb for number 300.
Well,
that, and two, it was barrel aged.
Yeah.
I will probably go, if they still had it, I would buy one. My wife would love this.
I think it's something that will show up. I don't think this is like a once a year beer. It's just an every so often kind of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, trying to think what beer is like that comes out just every once in a while.
Well, if they still have it on tap, go get it too. But
I mean, Breakfast Out is kind of that way, it seems like, too. They make
a
certain number of batches of it, and
yeah,
they take a few months off, and then they start making it again. So,
yeah.
But this is a barrel-aged version, so good job. I like this beer a lot.
I like it, too. I would go out of my way to buy a bottle of this.
Yeah,
it's worth the price point, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would drink it fresh. I would
especially,
definitely drink it fresh.
Especially now. So I'm going to get on my soapbox.
Uh-oh.
I'm a little upset.
No.
It's beneficial.
Meow, meow, meow.
Goose Island is putting Bourbon County in 16.9-ounce bounces. Bottles. So they're going from a 4-pack 12-ounce format to single 16.9-ounce bottles.
Yep.
So for a guy that used to be able to get...
What?
It's in between a
bomber and a...
Yeah, it looks like a lot of the European bottles. It'd be that size, like a European bottle.
That being said, they look fucking sweet.
They're cool-looking bottles.
But I know that's not...
I think with
but
them,
only
they bring...
the Bourbon Counties.
No, all the Bourbon Counties. So the...
Well, the variants of Bourbon
Counties. All the variants will be in the exact same bottles. And the only difference between the standard Bourbon County, the coffee, the barley wine, and then whatever variants they make every year is there'll be a little paper tag that hangs off the top, and it'll kind of look like a fancy bourbon bottle that'll say... You know, Bourbon County Stout, and then it might say Bourbon County Barley Wine, Bourbon County Coffee.
Why are they just doing this now?
I don't know. It's who knows for sure.
Okay, smaller than
it almost looks like an IBC root beer.
Oh, you say sarsaparilla?
Yeah.
Sarsaparilla. It looks like a big old bottle of sarsaparilla.
So we're looking at the picture of
it
right now.
That looks okay.
It looks okay, but you the one of the reasons that I heard is. They're going to be able to take the beer and put it in more places, which to me means less bottles per place, but they'll sell them individually. It's not going to be sold in a 4-pack anymore at 16.9-ounce bottle. You're going to spend X dollars per bottle.
Right.
So what's that retail price going to be? Because we were paying $28?
For four.
About $7 a piece.
Yeah, I like the... I mean,
and my guess is they're going to be between... Now, granted, you're going to gain 4 ounces, almost 5 ounces, but my guess is it's going to be between $10 and $12 a bottle.
Yeah.
So where I used to buy
that's
3 to 4 4-packs
yeah.
of the regular year,
but
I'll be lucky to get 4 individual bottles.
Look at it this way, though. At that price, you might have some people that... are just, you know, out looking for a bunch of different beers, they're not probably going to spend that much on a bottle.
There's too many beer nerds out there. People
it will
are
be
gonna,
bought.
Yeah, it will be bought. Somebody will pay for it.
We will get in line again.
Okay.
Yeah, just like we do every Friday. We will be getting in line
again. The only
we'll
nice...
Four.
And then the other bad thing is we used to be able to get at least a 4-pack of coffee and barley wine.
We've been lucky enough to find.
Now, it'll probably be 1 or 2 bottles, period.
Yeah.
Instead of being able to enjoy it 3 or 4 times in a year, you'd just be able to drink it once or twice out of the bottle that you have. Now, you can share it a little bit better.
It's perfect for me and the wife.
All right.
Whoa. But,
or for 3 people, even. You know, me, Eric, and Gina.
Yeah.
I mean, we opened in 2
it's
bottles.
It's good sampling size, but I don't know. I'm not happy. I'm a little disappointed.
It's
not my call to make. You know, and it just barked me because we're drinking this barrel-aged beer.
But it just kind of stinks because it's not sellable. You know, it's you lose your good 2-4 packs in the cellar.
Right.
After you've already had friends over and drank your first 4-pack
so
there, that
easier
first
to
week,
have
you've
a
lost.
Vertical.
Yeah, you've lost your. You just lost them, and it kind of stinks.
So I think I will go. I'm not saying that I won't go out and search the search for the beer this year.
Well, I will.
But what I am saying is that I'm not going to go all day searching for it just to get any more, and I probably will end up spending more time and effort going and trying to find places I haven't on tap this year.
Right.
You know, just because I can still get a decent pour.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't think it's going to be any much more expensive on tap than it was going to be in the bottle. Yeah. I don't think so. I mean, you're going to pay bar price, but I'm still saying you're going to get probably like a 10-ounce pour.
$8, 6-ounce pour, usually. I mean, a 10-ounce pour is going to be like $10, if not more. We'll find out.
Yeah, retail at $12, you're almost paying $1 an ounce anyway. And this you're enjoying in a bar, you know, which is typically more expensive to begin with.
Yeah.
So, I just think that's where my money is going to go. So.
Right.
We will see. It's all speculation at this point.
Yes, it is. He'll fucking nerd out and be like, we gotta go here now. I've heard him say this 1,000 times, but I've actually been there to see what really fucking happens.
Right. My OCD kicks in.
Yeah.
Where are we going next? What are we gonna get next? We gotta find a bottle of coffee now.
My Pokemon Kent mentality kicks in.
You gotta collect them all. We gotta go find the barley wine. Now the rare?
Yeah, I mean...
The rare and the...
If we can find it, I will go in on a bottle. Because it'll probably be quite costly.
$50?
Hopefully
not a bottle.
With it only being 16 ounces, I'm guessing it's... Well, I still think the variants at $16 are still going to be $25 to $30
a
piece.
What coffee can't be
for the proprietor? No. For the proprietors and the... And whatever the specialty one is. Not the coffee and the barley one.
Yeah. Right.
I think the coffee and the barley wine will be...
Barley wine's not even a variant anymore. Barley wine is a beer of its own.
I honestly think coffee and barley wine will be $3 to $5 more than regular this
probably.
Year.
Probably. Okay.
See
that
what I'm
sucks,
saying?
Though.
I know.
But...
I know.
That sucks.
It's all speculation,
that's,
but
that's,
I just, that's why I think it's going.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, anyway, back to the beer.
Fair enough. What are we drinking now, Ryan?
Vanilla Wafer Porter. This was my other choice if you guys told me no to the bomb.
Okay.
So
this is Colt Seaberg's beer. He's a local guy from Rockford. He came up with the recipe, and Mobcraft is a...
That's what's really cool.
Is a crowd source.
It actually says on here, is submitted by Colt Seaberg from Rockford, Illinois, mm-hmm. which is where we're at.
Yep, and he came up with the recipe and submitted it,
you
and
can vote.
People voted for it, and that's how it got selected.
Yes, that's awesome.
I get an email every time a Mobcraft beer is up for vote, and you go and you vote on the style that is submitted that you
and they have
prefer.
Probably, what would you say, Chuck, like 6 to 8 regulars and annuals that come out all the time, and everything else is based on a contest, on a, basically a homebrewer recipe.
That's cool.
So he gets his name on, as far as I remember, he gets his name on the bottles. He got a certain number of bottles for free. And that was about it. It wasn't like he got,
you know,
a certain percentage.
Colt Seaberg?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I don't know him super well, but I have met him multiple times.
We're
friends on
for
Facebook
hours.
And, you know, he's a fellow Rockford beer nerd.
We should have had him in here.
I know.
The last few times
I've seen him, me and him both kept saying, "We need to get together for the podcast. We need to get together for the podcast." But
we can always taste it again.
Exactly.
With him here.
Exactly. So
That's cool.
That's not to say we can't do another all vanilla night, because there's more vanilla beers out there. So
I'm not going to complain.
I know you wouldn't. So
yeah, there's a good 6. Mr. T.
You can definitely
crazy.
Tell it's a porter.
Yeah, it finishes porter 100%. I was going to say that as well.
And the smell is all vanilla wafers, like that cookie.
It's pretty tasty.
Uh huh.
I like it.
There's your cocoa nibs again.
I should have picked this for my 300.
Yeah,
that's okay. I should have went with my gut and said I went with the name, the bomb.
You went with the notoriety.
And I should have went with the what I Like my brain was telling me.
You suck.
Oh, well.
Now, your heart was telling you to pick the vanilla wafer porter.
Yeah, my heart was saying this said, one.
No, this is yep, more rare and more expensive.
Do the bomb, yeah.
Do the bomb.
Must have.
Barrel aged must be the winner.
I like the name of the brewery, too. Modcraft.
Yep.
Yeah, and look at the
They've been around for, what, 2 years now? Year and a half?
2 years. They were at 2 years ago. It was Great Taste.
Yeah, they're a Screw City regular every year. They'll be there this year.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, maybe 2 years.
Yeah. And what's one of their beers
so you
is...
You got ideas forming beers.
Mm-hmm. What's the white... Logo, what's the nice. One? What's the one beer they make called White Men Can't...
I'm not sure.
Like white, I don't think it's White Men Can't Jump. It's something to that effect. And it's a grapefruit beer, if I'm not mistaken.
Was Mobcraft a Great Ooh, Taste?
Grapefruit, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. How did I miss that?
Well, the grapefruit...
Well, we're not pouring this at...
I know, but how... No,
they poured their regulars. The stuff that they make all the time.
Yeah, and I had barrel-aged batshit sour. Batshit
crazy is their...
Yeah.
Is one of their beers.
Nice.
And I think I had Here Goes
to have that.
We'll have to drink that around Halloween on the Halloween episode.
Yeah, batshit crazy.
That's we drank it at Halloween last year for the first time.
Oh, I had Hop Goes the Grapefruit.
Hop Goes the Grapefruit. And it has kind of like a White Men Can't Jump like font to it, doesn't it? On the label.
Oh, I'm
going
to get back to it.
Is there any... Halloween beers called like Hocus Pocus or
well, there's a Nosferatu
Hocus Hoppus or something.
There's Nosferatu made by Great Lakes Brewing Company awesome in Cleveland. Beer.
It's an Imperial Red.
It's an
right?
Imperial Red.
It's so fucking
it's
good.
It's really heavy. It's like 10.5% or 11%.
Super hopped up,
but it is very easy to drink. Like you cannot taste the alcohol in it.
Yeah, you get in trouble drinking that beer.
Here's a question. And now this is what made me think of it was that you were talking about the percent. What's
Wheat Men Can't Jump. Yeah. That's what it was. It was a wheat beer. Wheat Ooh, Men Can't Jump.
I bet you I'd like that, too. What's the... like? Is there a cutoff on a percent the beer can be?
Alcohol level?
Before it's, like, illegal or something.
Technically?
No.
Because I was listening to a podcast. Now, it's not a beer podcast. It was just a random podcast. And they were talking about something, and this girl piped up. Beers can't go over 12% because that's illegal. And I was thinking, well, that's bullshit because I've had higher than 12%.
It depends on what state you're in. Now, certain states will classify. California, that's not necessarily true. It was, if you're in Ohio, you can't have a beer over 10 or 11%. It's part of the rules that you cannot sell anything classified as beer. So, like, some of your bourbon counties and stuff, like, it's almost like Goose Island makes a specific blend just to sell in those states, because if they don't, it won't get to those states.
That's weird, isn't
Too
it?
Bad.
That's why when you look up Goose Island,
yeah, they have different ABVs.
Bourbon County, you see different ABVs, because certain states, and there's even a question whether or not it's any different, or they just fudged the label. Yeah.
Because barley wine came out at like 11.8 this year, and 12.3. I think 12.3 might have been...
Yeah, so some like of them were 11.8, and the other ones were 12.3.
We never check into like an 11.8 or whatever, so it's clearly under 12%.
Right.
But then as it showed, I think it might have been 12.7. I can't remember what barley wine was, but it's like, yeah, what the fuck ever.
you know,
here's
change
the
even,
label.
Yeah. Right. Here's an even better one in the state of Utah.
Yeah.
Beer's illegal altogether.
Well, no.
It's not illegal, but everything has to be under 5%.
If it's at a grocery store. Well,
no.
What's the point? So they can have Miller Lite, Coors Light.
No, there's a lot of, like, session beers there.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, but
there's craft beer there.
So you can go to Utah and drink a lot of beer and never get drunk.
I don't know if that's necessarily 100% correct. I think it's at a grocery beer. They can sell beer and you buy beer at state.
You have to be at
store.
You have to be at the actual, I think, place that produces it, because there's a certain podcast that I listen to. The people live in Utah. It's called Beardy and the Beast, and it's a husband and wife, and they usually
send us some beers.
Yeah. I listen to their podcast regularly. It's kind of cool, you know, a married husband and wife with kids. They talk about just about everything, but typically they will drink and review a beer on the air. And I heard about them through the Perfect Pour because they're a Patreon of the Perfect mm-hmm. Pour, and they've, you know, talked to them, and they've called into the show. So, they go to Epic quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And you're right, Epic does make beers that are above that, but you have to, like, they have to physically go to Epic to buy them.
Well, I thought you had to go to a state-run liquor store. I know at grocery stores it has to be, because Bud Light is less than 5%.
When they make a trip outside of state to get better beer, they stock up because they know they can't buy it locally.
So are there any breweries in
Utah?
It
might be a county thing. It might be a Salt Lake City county thing.
Well, because Bud Light at all grocery stores in Utah, period. I don't think that's I think that's state run. It was like 3.2% or some shit like that, because it can't be over like 4.
Yeah.
And Bud Light's to be sold in a grocery store, it has to be under a certain ABV for sure.
Right.
I'm sure of that. Otherwise, they do have state-run liquor stores, like they have...
Isn't that a weird state? They got like a lot of states, weird laws there.
Like, they have overseas. I mean, they have, like...
Yeah.
Liquor stores.
Well, what's the highest percent you guys have tasted that you know, like, that was,
Well, I know there's 30%
I know
beers, but...
Have you had one, though?
No.
The highest beer I've ever had was Utopias.
Oh yeah,
we had Utopias.
That was
in the 20s.
Holy yeah. cow!
That's a Sam Adams.
Hit you?
It tastes like brandy. It doesn't taste like beer.
Oh okay.
It tastes like more like alcohol. It doesn't drink like beer. So we had a what I would call a whale slaying party, probably the first whale slaying party I'd ever been to, and the host opened up a bottle. Okay, so here's the...
Kernsland
set a limit of 3.2%
and that's what Bud Light is.
In beer at grocery and convenience stores.
Yes.
That's crazy.
So they made establishing under a beer-only type license such as...
For Utah.
...and some restaurants.
Yeah.
Yep.
For Utah.
All of them specifically make a different ABV crap light beer. More water.
I just wouldn't sell to them states. Like, isn't that a pain in the ass for them to have to make a special... batch just for one state, or just for like Goose Island to sell in Ohio with the Bourbon Counties? Like, that to me is a pain in the ass. Guess what, Ohio? You got Indiana, you've got all these other states around you that don't have those issues. Go there.
Absolutely.
Get it and come back.
Yeah, kiss my ass.
I mean,
I agree. 100% agree. And it's not like they would not sell
that. Remember who they're owned by now, though. That's the thing. Back in the day when Goose Island was still Goose Island, they get everything Goose Island made except for Bourbon County for that reason. You know?
Yeah.
And now because it's an InBev property. But, yeah. Anyway, going back, Utopias by Sam Adams is in the upper 20s. It was made every couple of years. It's been a while since it's been made. I want to say...
3 years?
At least 3 years since it's been made that I'm aware of.
We don't have to look at the one we had.
And, man, that was a good night. We drank some crazy beers. I mean, it was, what, 15?
I want to come to a whale party sometime. That's a lot of guys.
Wasn't it 15 or 16 guys?
For 20.
It was closer to 20.
20. Like 20.
And then everybody brings their own...
Everybody brings a couple of bombers, and we probably went through... 30 beers that night.
We all kicked in like $20 for food and Utopia.
Do you guys like, so if you brought, what, you bring three of the same kind?
We all tell ahead of time what we're going to bring.
For the most part, so everybody tastes it, or certain people not get to taste?
Most people brought bombers.
No, you can taste
it. So it's like, you're really getting
it's
only
even
like,
less than what we're doing.
Yeah, you're talking like an ounce and a half.
That was about that.
2 ounces.
For 20 people on a bomber?
It's 22 ounces.
Yeah.
We did a bomber here between the three of us, and I'm about to go my third pour, and it's going to be gone.
Yeah. Well, that was like,
there were some people that, if they had had it before, might not have
chose
taken
not
a pour.
To, right,
I mean, there were a couple of beers that passed around that passed on.
Yeah, and there were some that I didn't have either, and there was like a bunch of sours that Eric wasn't necessarily getting
that. See, that was before I was all...
Yeah, but in the end, there were still a couple sours. You're like, I'm done, I'm sour out.
It was a great night, though. We had some amazing killer beers that night. We had
there was lots of friends hanging out. And
Darkness, and we had Dark Lord, and we had a bunch of 50-50 Eclipses that night.
Rare.
And we had Rare and Utopia. King Henry and Utopias and
Cantillion.
Yeah.
Cantillion. Two Cantillions.
Oh, it was nuts.
Dustin brought him back from Belgium.
Oh,
that's awesome. That's right. He went there, didn't he? Where else did he go? He went He went all over the place when he went over there.
Well, he just went to a lot of places in Belgium. I mean, the guy that's been more recently is Aaron.
2013 was the last year.
Aaron just got back from there about three months ago.
Yeah.
He was in
Belgium.
He went to Belgium for a week.
See, they're in like a 3 to 7, because they made it in like 2000. Okay, there's 5. So, well, because they made it in 2009, 2011, 2012, and 2013, but they have not made it since 2013. Yeah. And we had 2012 that night, the 10th anniversary. And yep. That beer is 29%.
And I've had it twice. Whoa. I had the 2010 and I've had the 2012.
I think that would knock me on my ass.
And the 2010 was pretty much the same thing. It was like was basically a glass like yours. I probably had 2 ounces of it. It was back when Cheeto was still drinking and
Have you been to Nuclear's?
No.
Okay.
Oh my goodness, we need to take you there.
Because that's what the bottle looks like their copper kettles is what the bottle looks like.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I want a bottle. I got a...
They got a couple of them.
Bottle that looks places. Like that, but I don't know what it is in the...
No, that's your copper. That's your doors for the copper kettle that slide open.
Yeah.
They have three.
Now, what's the...
Three of those when you walk into... when you walk into Nuclear's, you see three of those.
Big. What's the Tactical ones. Nuclear Penguin?
It's like 33 or some shit like that.
There's a beer called Tactical Nuclear Penguin that BrewDog's made. And then they made one that was called...
They only made like 7 of those, though.
It was like the end of the world or something like that. It was even higher ABV. And each bottle had a taxidermied animal surrounding the bottle of the beer.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was squirrels... Or
what?
Yeah. So when you poured the beer, it was pouring out of the mouth of the taxidermy.
It tells what they are. You can look it up on.
So they had put the bottle in the mouth.
It was like a 16.9 ounce bottle, true European style, like, and they had stuffed the bottle inside the taxidermy.
They mean like 12 of them or something. There's 2 squirrels. There's a rabbit.
How much did that cost?
They were all roadkills. It was like $800 or some shit.
Yeah,
I
it was
remember.
Something like $500.
It all went to some charity.
$800 American.
Yeah, it all went to some charity.
I would have bought one. That'd been pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that actually when it came out. I saw that on Yahoo. I remember the day sitting in the shop going, "What?"
It wasn't even like you could go online and order it. You had to put your name in for a lottery to be able to get your name drawn to buy it.
And it
like they had X number of bottles on a lottery system. You didn't have to pay anything to get in the lottery. It was just. You know, you put your name in, and if your name got drawn, you had to pay for the bottle.
Right.
So
32% tactical nuclear.
So you had to know that you're willing to drop the
whatever money and then pay to have it shipped from overseas on top of it.
I'd be pissed if it got
that would be a lot cheaper.
Was falling off or something.
That, the shipping was a lot cheaper than the beer itself. That was the problem with Tactical Nuclear Penguin was. It wasn't so much the beer.
No, you
shipped it to get it over here because it wasn't sold in America.
No, it cost like £30 to get the bottle, and it was like £50 to ship the fucker.
That was crazy.
You can go to their website. At a point in time, you could go to their website and buy beer from them.
But
because we only had a couple, and I mean, you could go to Binny's and get their beer, but they
Tokyo
don't date.
And,
but they don't date their fucking Punk. Bottles. And who knows how old the Punk IPA is. And you can go get the Saint... what's the Saint? It's like their normal ale.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about.
But I don't like that beer so much. And I'm not
Punk's,
spending that much.
Punk's really good.
Yeah, Punk's IPA, and their other one is.
How about this for a question? I was asked this, and I don't know the answer, and you guys do because you ship to Perfect Pour. What are the shipping rules for beer?
Because technically,
supposedly it's illegal, correct?
No, not anymore.
It's not.
No, okay, it's illegal to ship it air.
Then how do you ship it, I guess, is the question. I was asked how to ship because somebody wants to do that.
Here's
the
truth. You can do it now.
The truth is, you as a normal, everyday person, it is illegal for you to ship beer from point A to point B across state lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not have the correct license to send beer.
Right.
Okay. There are liquor stores across the country that you can get online on their sites
and
buy beer from.
Can.
They can, and there are certain states that you can't. Like Texas is one of those states where you can't get beer from California, Illinois, whatever. They are a no shipping from A to B point. Period.
California.
They ship back and forth within the state. You can order from California and have it shipped to Illinois. The problem is the freight and the handling kills you. Right. Because they lump in what it costs them for licensing fees to send it out of state into their shipping and handling costs. So, I mean, it's expensive. It's really expensive. Yeah. Let me put it this way, though. Shipping beer in general is expensive just because of the sheer weight.
So how do you do it then? Okay, so let's say I'm Joe Blow, and I got a friend down in Florida.
Okay. I
got a six-pack that my buddy wants some new Glarus, and I got to get him some new Glarus. So he's willing to MacGruber me.
Number one rule, you do not send it via the U.S. Postal Service.
No.
Period.
USPS.
No. USPS, no. You never send alcohol via USPS because they are a federal entity. Okay, they're not a private company.
How would they know if you did?
Now, there's legislation out there where the USPS is thinking about letting people do the shipping back and forth.
Right.
To help garner some sales because they're hurting right now.
Right.
Okay, so it's in the talks. They haven't agreed upon it or approved it yet, but it's in the talks. So, the majority of your beer traders send either via UPS or FedEx.
Yeah.
Now,
I've had good luck sending both ways.
Yes, me too. Now, if you ship and you go to one of these box places, a lot of them ask you what's in the box. So there's a lot of things that people tell you to say when you're shipping alcohol, namely beer, not necessarily hard liquor, but shipping beer.
Mm-hmm.
But you can say that you're not telling the whole truth, but you're not lying either. One thing that people say is, I'm shipping yeast samples.
Yeast samples.
Okay. There's yeast in the beer.
Right.
Another way to say is you're sending collectible glassware. Because in a lot of cases...
fragile all over these boxes, right?
And, see, that's something I've learned. You do not put fragile on a box.
Fuck no.
Because it's the number one indicator for someone that's working at FedEx or UPS to drop, throw, or kick that box as hard as they can.
Generally kick.
It's the kind of thing that says, please, see how durable I am.
Yeah. See, I worked in shipping and receiving, so all of my boxes... Though. Yeah, but
That's not the point.
I used to be a delivery guy. When I saw fragile, I was fragile with it.
Right.
I mean, you have to be a fucking asshole to, like...
Hello? How many UPS hubs is this thing going through?
So basically, it's like...
It's like multiple fucking assholes in different parts of asshole USA.
But you guys are... Yeah, I guess the odds are that you're going to get the Ace Ventura from the first 30 seconds of that original movie where he's...
Walking...
That's probably what you're getting most of the time.
Yeah.
You rarely will run into somebody that isn't a dick.
Yeah.
So... Okay, so don't put anything on it. Okay, now how do you package it to make sure
that... I bubble wrap the shit out of my stuff, but I'm super...
Bubble wrap.
Yeah, I'm super awesome at it.
Because you don't want to hear clanking and shit.
No, each individual bubble. Here's how you pack it. To where...
This is a perfect point. Mikey from The Perfect Pour sent me this box. We are very lucky we got our bottles intact. Because the box was ripping... He had single tape on the top and the bottom, and it was ripped in one spot because of the sheer weight from shifting around. It had busted out, but the bottom hadn't fallen through. There was minimal bubble wrap, but he did have the dividers, so that helped a lot. That was very smart.
Right.
And then he took the cans and put them on the outside and the bottles on the inside with bubble wrap on top. More. Exactly. So that was smart, but like I told him, he emailed me and he goes, this is the second time I've shipped, so please tell me that everything got here okay. I said, three tips for you. You can never have enough tape. And I said something about... I gave him three tips. I can't remember the second one, but the last one was bubble wrap.
Yeah.
You know?
And then more bubble wrap.
And here's the thing. With
thick cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
Thick.
Double wall help.
Even if you take a normal cardboard box and then you cut a cardboard box down and line the inside of your box...
It's double wall.
That's huge. That is very helpful.
And with craft paper.
Mm-hmm.
Smush the craft paper to the point... A of no more smushing. You must take all air or room of shifting out of the box. There can be no shifting in the box. I put all of your weight. You put as much craft paper in the box as you can. It's completely full. Craft paper, that will be a half an inch layer. You want like a 3-inch layer, you know, and just crush it down.
So basically,
you put the bottles in, you put all your weight on it. You put more paper in, put all your weight on it.
Now, something I've done recently that I've started trading with a group on Facebook, one of the first things I noticed for my first trade from them was what guys do is they, after they bubble wrap the bottle, they put it either in a Ziploc bag or a plastic bag.
That helps too.
And then tie it off. So if that bottle breaks for any reason,
quarantined,
it's contained to that that bag.
Right.
And no then glass shards.
No glass shards. It doesn't make the cardboard wet. Because
that was the next thing I was going to ask for, like a can. We're shipping during the summer in them hot warehouses. Yeah, is it going to?
No.
You know what I mean? That was
okay.
I want to go do the whole thing because I was asked how you do it because
here's another
it's
pro tip.
Considered
cold is scariest.
Depending on cold is worse than hot. So really? Shipping during the winter
is
scarier.
Yeah, if it gets cold and dropped, that's for sure.
But my tip is, depending on how long it takes to get from point A to point B, like whenever I ship to California, I try to ship on a Monday. Because I know by Friday it's going to get there. It's never going to sit over the weekend somewhere.
Right.
Or if you have a place that you can ship from, 3 days, nice too. 3 days doesn't cost much more. Three days, pretty simple, easy pricing.
You know, if it's 2 to 3 days, I know I can ship Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, and it's not going to sit over the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But anytime I know, like when I ship to my friend in Florida, I always send on a Monday. Because even though it usually only takes 3 days, if something were to happen and it takes any extra time, I don't want it sitting in a heavy box in a metal box somewhere to sour. So
So there you go.
Yeah.
Tips, everybody, for shipping
big time
beer.
Tips.
But knowing someone who has facilities helps,
electric
and
tape.
You know a couple people who have facilities who are sitting directly across
electric
from
tape on your caps too. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
So take black electrical tape, you know, and you wrap the top of your caps so that for any reason something gets pried off, that tape helps.
Yeah, it won't leak through
through
one spot. Yeah, right, you know, just leak down or whatever, but yeah.
Good.
It's
not me.
It's whoever.
Well, he was at Beer Fest with us, and he asked me because he's watched beer from somewhere else, and he wants to tell the person how to do it.
Gotcha.
And I was
he's got a friend somewhere.
I have no idea, so let me ask professionals.
we'll talk to him.
Yeah,
I'll reach out.
He needs to tell them how to do it.
I don't trade on a weekly basis. I don't even trade, I would say, on a monthly basis.
Not more, but
probably.
Close to it.
Probably
six
once
weeks.
A month.
What's
I
the,
probably like, trade every 2 months on
the what's
average.
The odd? Like, okay, let's say for some stupid reason they spot checked it or something. Or it opened and you.
You're going to get blacklisted. They're not going to sue you, but you'll get blacklisted, number one.
Sue you.
And number two.
Like UPS? Like you can't
they
ship
hold
something?
On to it.
No, they drink the fuck out of it, I'm sure.
But they keep it. They basically say, you did something illegal.
Right, they're not going to give it back to you or get it to where it's supposed to go. They're drinking it.
Right, and they will blacklist you. Like, for guys that do it on their own and have their own FedEx account or UPS account and do it, the smart way to do it is not use the box stores. Sign up for your own FedEx account and use a drop spot because nobody asks you what it's in there. You print the label off at home with the weight. You drop it off and you walk away from it. You just leave it on a counter and walk away because it's already got the label on it. They don't even ask you.
Right.
Or you leave it outside your doorstep and the FedEx guy shows up and picks it up and he doesn't ask you.
Right. He's just picking it up
and
off it goes.
Off it goes.
That's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And pack the fuck out of it.
Yeah.
Or if you work at a place that, you know, has FedEx or UPS shipping.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, you ship it via your company and through
now
the company.
We know how you do it. I'm just kidding.
It just leaves my building.
Right.
And then that way it's not as suspect.
It's a toilet seat.
It could be.
Could be.
The best part is it comes to your building and you're at work.
Right.
So
you get it. You don't have to wait.
Right. And I would always say to people, if you're going to ship back and forth, if your business allows you to have packages come to where you work, that's always a better option too, because it's not going to sit out in the hot sun on your porch.
And there's going to be a lot less questions asked because
on delivery.
Who ships beer to a company?
On delivery, too. So, right. I mean...
Yeah.
I mean, and not even just beer. Anything I order on Amazon or anywhere else, I ship it to work.
Right.
I never send it home.
Me neither.
Because even if I'm going to be on vacation or it's going to show up on a day where I'm not there, it's going to sit in a safe, secure spot.
Yeah. Right.
Versus if it comes to my house and it doesn't go in the mailbox, it's just sitting in front of my house.
Right. And if nobody's there, somebody drives by and grabs it.
Yeah.
I ordered crap on eBay and records online. I ordered records from a record shop every... twice a week. I've seen the
hidden camera videos of these FedEx guys that are delivering
stuff. Click the banner and go through Amazon.
They're delivering stuff to people's houses and they just like throw it over the fence. TVs and DVD players. Have you ever seen those videos?
Yeah.
This guy, it was definitely a TV. It was a TV box. Somebody ordered a TV.
Vizio.
Yeah. And they Best Buy or wherever, shipped UPS and he grabbed it and he tossed it over the fence.
They're not supposed to do that.
And there was obviously surveillance cameras at the house and caught the whole thing on camera and showed it. The guy lost his job, obviously.
Well, yeah. Well, you're not supposed to throw shit in the first place. And then most of them, things like that, over a certain price point, you got to have a signature or you can't leave it, you know?
Right. Right.
Anyways, we got to rate this last
pair. Yeah, it's the vanilla wafer pour.
I gave it a 4.5.
Good job.
I gave it a 3.5.
And I gave it a 3.75.
Oh, wow.
It was tasty, but compared to the first two beers, bad.
I like this one better than the bomb.
No.
Yes.
You're wrong. I know.
I'm a beer ninja. This doesn't make me right, though.
True. So now we've moved on to Pipeworks.
Dreamsicle.
The Dreamsicle.
This is good. This is way better than
ale
I thought.
Ale brewed with oranges and vanilla. This has... The bite of a citrus taste.
Yes.
With the nice aroma and flavor of the vanilla. A little bit of creaminess.
Definitely creamy, yeah. And I'm not a fan of Dreamsicles. I will start by saying that, but I do like this beer quite a bit because it's still at heart it's a pale ale. A very nice one at that.
Our fellow podcast buddy was just asking where I got our stickers at. The Beer with Friends podcast stickers.
Go to hell.com.
Oh. Have you received any stickers?
I do. I have them in my wallet now, as a matter of fact, for passing out and stickability. I've stuck a couple in probably places that shouldn't be stuck, but I was a little buzzed up anyway, so who cares?
Yeah. Okay. Spread the word.
Yeah, there's a couple handicap signs that now have Beer with Friends stickers. Yeah,
Beer with Friends podcast has signs. Swag. We have stickers.
So the handicap head is a...
No, I just threw it. The sticker. No, I threw it in the corner because I was surrounded by probably 300 people.
It's Ryan, it's gotten to the point where it's the kind of thing where I don't leave the house without them. It's like, sits with my wallet and my keys. It's one of those things I automatically put in my pocket. Matter of fact, if I reach back here...
It's like a business card, almost.
Yeah, I got some in the car.
Hey, look. I got stickers. So,
and they are nice stickers. And they...
And the biggest thing is, for a long time, I've been the kind of person where... You know, depending on people I meet, you spark up a conversation about craft beer.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, in the past, it would always just come in kind of like, oh, we drink here, we do this, or we do that. Now it's like, hey, you know what? I got a podcast, and if you're interested in listening, here you go. Matter of fact,
I can't remember what the name was. Oh, I got a sticker.
Exactly. So, a guy that is it that you work with him? That
no.
My kids... go to daycare with his kids?
Yes. My wife went to college with him.
Right.
And she used to work at his parents' computer store. Right. And
I ran into Keith today, this morning.
I saw his wife. He was leaving today.
He was dropping his kid off, and I was just leaving, dropping my kids off. And I said, hey, are you going to be at Screw City Beer Fest? He's like, yeah, we got our tickets and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, cool. I was like, hey, we actually just did a podcast where we reviewed and had interviews at the Great Taste of the Midwest. I said, you need to check it out. Here's my sticker. So I gave him a couple of stickers, and that may be a listener that we get. So
yes. Yeah, Keith's cool, dude.
Only way these could be better is if we could probably get the backs printed with the website, or if we had a bigger sticker and it had all the website information on it. But this is just the first run.
I like the sticker, honestly, just being the logo and even cut, like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a good job. Yeah,
if we would have made them a little bit bigger, they would have been on square paper to reduce the cost. But because of the size they were, they were automatically die cut.
If you did the square, whatever, you could maybe just make them more. Maybe not full bumper sticker, but you could add the other information then.
The sticker still would have been cut like this, but the paper behind it would have been square. Okay. To reduce the cost.
These are much more
when
hand
they're 3
outable.
Inches or bigger.
Well, these are, if you hand this to somebody,
these are so much more
because
hand
it's the design of it. We were like, ooh, as opposed to one of these.
Yeah, I know.
This is like, oh shit, I'm putting this on my beer fridge, or you like some drunk girls, maybe they're boobs or something.
Well, or
I'm not saying we did that, but we probably did that.
Yeah, but me being the guy that paid for the stickers and designed them. I was very selfish. I designed it exactly the size to fit on my phone case.
Nice.
So I have a customized.
So there's the secret.
That's the secret to the size.
Yeah.
2.5 inches fit perfectly on my phone.
I want one to fit my steering wheel now.
I want one big enough to go across the back window of my car.
That's, that's what we need. We need to hang that shit in here because if we need one to fit right there
over the microphone of your
in that big empty area on the banner.
Square. We should get
I want a round one
metal sign that's actual cap, like raised like an actual
would be
cap.
Cool.
That would be cool.
Oh yeah, like you see hanging in the bars.
I'll take that when I hit 1,000.
Yeah,
we'll take that when we get 1,000 listeners.
Yeah,
we'll have it made.
Yeah,
that works too.
Well, you never know. It'll happen.
I'm curious to know what our listenership is. I know you track it a little bit, but
honestly.
4.
No.
Oh, okay. I just threw a number out there.
You must be counting Sandy then.
Yeah.
And he doesn't listen.
All
I'm
the people
kidding.
That are on the podcast that listen.
No.
4.
Honestly, for the most episodes, and this is just an average overall, most episodes, the average per episode is like 1,400. So,
but
varies.
That has
like,
to do with that's all the D2R podcast. Correct?
That's everything on the network. If you do an average of total overall hits, divided by the amount of episodes released.
Yes, fair enough.
1,400.
That it'll come out to 1,400.
I got you.
That's the easiest way to do it.
It is
just that at a sense. Glance. Now, if
that's the thing that's hard to track because we have the Facebook page and we have people that follow the Facebook page. But obviously we have more people listening to our podcast than are on the Facebook page.
Right.
Because it's not the people that follow us on Facebook are not the same amount of people that listen. Because they already follow the network, and it's all connected to the network.
And that's the thing. If you go to like the D2R Podcast Network group page, there's only like 180 people in the group. But that used to be the D2R Podcast page. And that was getting way more than that in listeners. So, but then you hear in 69 seconds, we beg for people to write in, interact.
Nobody
participates
does.
Yet.
Speaking
the listeners
which.
Are there, so it's like, what are you
Send
doing?
Send us an email.
Yeah.
Well,
here's a
Beer with Friends podcast at gmail.com.
People don't participate.
Send
it's so hard to
I'm such a non-participator, though. And I, you know what? It's funny, though. But
I'm the same way.
Tweet
us. I listen to all these podcasts, and they all say the same thing, and I never... I will follow them all on Twitter, and that's as far as it ever gets. You know what I mean?
Let me put it to you this way. I will reward somebody.
Reward Asians. You'll get a sticker.
The first 10 people in the continental United States that email... The Beer with Friends podcast, beerwithfriendspodcast@gmail.com. Email us with your information. I will put 2 stickers in an envelope with my own stamp. You give me your information on where you live, you'll get 2 free stickers. I don't care if you live in California, Oregon, Texas. I will send stickers to you.
Even if you live in Rockford.
Yeah.
I'll still mail them to you. You're getting stickers for
free.
It's that easy. I mean, that's the thing. And we've done this on...
If you're gonna go take the time to email us all your information,
right.
Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us a beer that you like that you want us to drink. If we can get it, we'll try it on air, and we'll read your email on air and say, hey, guess what? So-and-so suggested that we try this beer, and we picked
it up. Throw in your nickname, too.
Yeah.
Oh, come up with your own
nickname. So send it in some fake emails here. This is going
to
be
awesome. Chuck's trying to cover his fridge with Beer Friends podcast stickers.
Yeah, he just wants more stickers. All he's got to do is ask.
I know. He knows where they're at my house. It's not
right. I'm going to have him send some random old house in Connecticut, too. You know what I'm saying?
But we'll know when we start getting that. And then someone in Connecticut's going to get some stickers. And they're like, well, I'll check it out. You know?
I mean, I'm almost to the point
we
where...
We should send some to the White House.
I'm almost to the point where I would be okay with somebody telling us to drink Bush Light. You know?
No,
not that I'm going to, but I'm just saying it'd be nice to at least get an email to say for right. My favorite beer in the world is Bush Light.
Well, hopefully Bean Dip doesn't listen to this episode, because we're going to get fucked with again.
Oh, God, don't do that.
This beer is so good.
Oh, this beer
is good. Dreamsicle is very tasty.
Super quaffable. The quaffations. You like, look at that.
I'm looking forward to seeing nice. Pipeworks again. Mm-hmm. Anybody that listened to the live episode, you know we
got a chance. Fun.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
We drank some of
this
beer.
It was a good episode. I think everybody got a turn interviewed except me, but that was because I was manning. I was being producer.
There you go.
Dennis went around and...
I don't know. I think Dennis. Everybody... The curtain was lifted. The curtain was lifted when we... Right before we interviewed Revolution and Ale Syndicate, when I kept saying, Ryan, go get a hot dog. Ryan, you need a hot dog. Go eat a hot dog. Go get no, Ryan,
I, this
a
is
hot
when
dog.
The curtain was lifted. When literally 10 seconds after I hit record, and you were like... We're here at the Great Taste, or something about Ryan's drunk, and in the background, I'm not drunk! That was a perfect
clip. I was shit-faced.
But you cut that out, because I don't remember hearing
it. Oh, it's there. It's not cut out. I left it out. I only cut out the, like, anytime, like, microphone.
Good for you.
Kind of goofed or whatever.
Good for you.
Everything else is there. I figured there's no reason not to put it in.
No. You know? No, you can get shit-faced there.
And it is not like anybody was, you know, screaming racial slurs or anything. That I might have cut out, but there was no issues. So, but, you know.
Oh, the cricket's back.
Yeah.
Welcome back, cricket.
Okay, so what do you guys think about the Dreamsicle?
4. I think it's very good. It's almost a 4.25. Man, I don't...
Yeah, I'm giving it a 4.25.
Yeah, see, it's so damn close. I already gave it a 4, but...
You can change it. I haven't wrote anything down yet.
Yeah, I
4.25. Should I rake mine?
It's so close. It's so yeah. Give it a 4.25. It's good. It's super good. It's a Pipeworks. I mean, I
across the board 4.25.
That's so tasty.
Yeah, it's a Pipeworks.
I'm big on orange though. That's my thing.
I
love orange citrus beers.
Yeah.
Like the Potosi Tangerine and the citrusness that we had, you know, anything with orange, blood orange.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, another recap from Great Taste. The Messiah himself told us that the Rain and Blood is coming back again this year.
Oh, that's cool. Nice.
So
it was a good beer.
We'll be making that again shortly.
The Blood Orange has spoken.
Yes.
Did you notice in his interview he started out with like the southern accent and then towards the end it was the regular voice?
Right.
Yeah. Drunkest.
It was kind of funny.
I think the reason I gave this a 4 is because I lose the vanilla.
It's just more orange than vanilla?
I think so, don't you?
But don't you feel that that's the case when you eat like a Dreamsicle ice cream or popsicle?
I do, but...
Vanilla?
Maybe it's just not there because of
it's
all
just
the
creaminess more than the actual straight vanilla flavor.
Yeah, this mouth feels the same for all their IPAs, in my opinion. And it's got that nice.
Now, see, when I want to take a Hershey's Kiss here and do the, what's the orange that you break on the table?
Yeah.
Did you try one of those with the last beer we had, the wafer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That tasted really good with that.
It was after, too.
With a nib of chocolate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't no. It's yeah. It's a bit.
This is about the size of a nib. I'm really it's a bit. You know, it's like
it's a kiss actually.
Was John eating out of the regular candy bowl after I left? He really didn't tear into the kisses very much.
Yeah, John likes the...
Like the sugary candy.
Right? He likes... He has the Halloween candy bowl that I've had to replenish like two or three times since last Halloween.
Oh, boy.
Normally, Halloween candy will last a full year here, but John really likes his bowl of candy, and it goes in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and because he likes... And him, and it's
like
what
Skittles
it
and shit.
I'm you'll hear every time he's here. You'll hear in the background.
More than chocolate, I'm a fan of like, Sour Patch Kids,
Sour Patch
gummy
Kids,
worms, Skittles.
You guys make a list for me. I'll make sure we buy that Halloween candy. So when it doesn't
I'm actually
go,
really
we've got
good.
It all for you.
I'm actually really good with this because this is a good breakup, especially with the kind of beers we're drinking tonight, yeah. The porters and the stouts and stuff, and the vanilla flavor. The chocolate kind of cuts in between each. Each beer and kind of cleans your palate up to fully accept the next beer. You don't get that lingering vanilla flavor right. from the beer before.
I fully accept you, beer.
Mm-hmm.
This was a giant bowl here. It was for a bridal shower. You had to guess how many were in here, and if you the closest one
it
got it. And I guess some lady at this bridal shower wrote down like 50.
And she's
it's like, moron. That's 50 right there.
Yeah.
Two hands like.
This is 50.
Do you guys want to take a wild guess how many was in here before we started eating them?
Now, was it full to the.
It was full to the. Like, so you put the lid on and it wasn't like up there, but. It
I
was
would
full.
Say 200. No, it's more than 200.
I was going to say 350, but.
Yeah.
So far, you've guessed the highest, Chuck, of all the ladies at the bridal shower, and they were 200 off.
Jesus.
It's 509.
509
wow. was the grand total.
Okay.
So you guys weren't even close. There was you wouldn't guess it. I mean, obviously.
But I would have won.
There's a lot in there. You would have won because you'd have been the closest.
Wow.
The survey says?
Now there's probably 420.
How many packs of winners is that?
That's a lot. There's a lot of money spent on that. And that was going to be like a giveaway that I was like, hell no. You spent all that money on these. You bring them home because they're going on the desk.
You know?
Don't do that.
All right. What are we doing now?
This is the Kelly Cream Ale.
Kelly Bell Week. No.
This is from Perfect Pour.
This is from Perfect Pour. This is the Mother Earth Brewing Company.
A can.
Now, I will preface it. Well, I'm going to let you guys drink it, and then I'll explain why I think they sent it to us. Because there's an experiment.
Because they listen, and I know I like vanilla.
Oh, wrong.
Oh, okay. That was worth a shot.
It was.
Now, based on my smell, my initial smell, my first taste, my answer is no, it's not.
No, it's not.
So if
what?
They're listening, they know what I mean by it's no, it's not. And I'll explain to you guys after you taste it and read
it. So it's a hashtag no, it's not.
No, it's not.
Okay. What's it called again?
Kelly Cream Ale.
Okay.
This is really, really easy drinking. This should not take us long to finish these pours.
I get the flaked corn.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you say corn or the vanilla?
Corn. The flaked corn.
Yeah.
There's corn flakes in this?
It's almost like a lager like almost.
Yeah, is it because of Spotty Cow?
No.
The answer would be no, it's not. Right? No?
There's a little tiny bit of vanilla.
Yeah, not a ton, but it's just a cream right. ale. I mean, I get the
Which,
vanilla cream
when
ale.
I originally sent you the picture of getting this can and you had said that that's what you wanted for your 300, I'm kind of glad
well,
we
I just saw vanilla cream ale because that's what one of my favorite beers from Carlisle is called, vanilla cream ale. Right? Or vanilla, what is it? Yeah, it's vanilla cream ale.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, it's got to be...
Which I like it has a ton of vanilla bean. But Spotty Cow is a cream ale.
Yeah.
I know people say it's not, but it is listed as such.
Easy drinking.
You don't smell any vanilla when you smell it.
Nope.
I eat a lot of cornflake. I do get that.
Yeah, corn is definitely a predominant...
Corn nibs?
But like the oats, like the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a good beer. I could totally drink... I could crush a couple of these if I had to.
After mowing?
Mm-hmm.
I'd murder this thing.
Ooh.
Does have good artwork.
I can taste the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you guys are saying it's subtle. I think it's there.
It finishes.
It's there.
Yeah,
I like it.
Okay. Yeah. So, drinking, let me ask you this. Without looking,
The answer is
all over the can, Chuck.
The
answer is yes. Read the can yet?
How old do you think the beer is? You cheated. You looked. Would you say that the beer tastes okay?
I would
drink. Now that I asked you.
You know what? If I could get a case of this shit, I would buy a case of this, and this would be a session beer for me.
So somebody on their podcast had, not necessarily on the Perfect Pour, but one of their, just like us, they have a network of podcasts,
mm-hmm.
and they drank this on another podcast.
This isn't old.
And the person that drank it said they thought it was skunked. They thought it was bad. I don't think it's skunked at all. This is what a cream ale should taste like.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not the best cream ale I've ever had in my life.
It's up there.
But it's decent. I mean, it's definitely in 3.25 to 3.5 range. I mean, and it's just because it's very simple. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from the simplicity.
No.
But it's not so clean and simple that I think it deserves above and beyond rating of 4.
We can only get this in California?
It was just a hit. Made in Vista,
it's,
California.
It's made in Vista. I don't know how far their distribution is. So, well, I mean,
not across Mississippi.
Probably. What I can tell you is if I could get my hands on a case of this, I will buy it.
Yeah. Well, you're going back to Vegas soon. Maybe this would be a beer you can bring back. Because that would actually be a decent one. I've got a list
growing of beers I want my...
This would actually be a better one to pack in your suitcase coming back because it's canned. It's a little easier to travel when you're flying,
you know,
than bottles. You have
a little, and I brought plenty of cans back flying, so there's no... I mean, I wrapped them in my pants. Threw them down the leg, in my pants.
Yeah, this is a good beer, and
bottles too. I brought back plenty of beer, you know, from New Mexico. So I mean, just as far as you,
right?
And we went on two planes, so we went in a 2.5 hour car ride, well, 2 hour car ride. Went from a plane from Podunk, freaking Texas, to Dallas, and then from Dallas, the luggage went from Dallas to O'Hare. And another time, Madison, all my beer made it perfectly fine. No issues whatsoever.
So Mikey, the consensus from my friends, from my beer with friends...
There's no skunk. That maybe
it's not skunk.
There's no skunk to this. I'm curious how you come up with skunk.
I don't know if they mistake the creaminess, because maybe they're used to just drinking more IPAs where it's just a pop, bright, bite, you know.
But it's a little bit of a bitter finish that you might... I mean, I don't
know.
It's not skunk.
Not for me.
No, there's a small bitter finish there, in my opinion.
I get more of a bitter finish on the one at Carlisle than I do at this one. This one's smooth to me, but
it's not... I don't think it's skunk either.
No skunk in this. I would never describe this as skunk.
Well, there's only a couple beers I've ever even had that I could say have been skunked, and it was Coronas and
skunky beers.
And what the hell is it? Not Rolling Rock, but the
form. I can tell you one thing: of all the beers we've drank tonight, this has been the one that's gone down the easiest.
This one should have been the 300. Honestly, this one's probably going to be my highest rated one right here.
I gave it a 3.5.
This is exactly what I like.
It's a 3.5 too.
Yeah, it's 3.5.
No way.
Yes, it's
a 3.5.
Yeah, okay. What do you guys give the Carlisle Vanilla Cream Ale though? How do you rank that?
3.5.
Exactly. So you're on par, and I rank that 5.
I would say it's a little bit higher than this. It's probably like a 3.75, almost a 4.
It's higher because you can get it fresher. Because you can literally go there and sit down.
It's not even the freshness.
It's that's all vanilla.
There's more vanilla flavor in that beer.
To me, this is a 4.75.
Wow.
Shut the fuck.
I like these kinds of beers.
We should call you... Vanilla Ninja.
Vanilla Ninja?
Vanilla Ninja, not Beer Ninja.
That's racist.
Wait, you're white?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because nobody could tell.
Hold on.
Well, if you give this a 4.75, you're just a cracker.
Okay.
He's just a vanilla, you know, cow. That's what
it is. Here's the thing. It reminds me of the one at Carlisle, and that's the bar that's been set.
Everybody I know. They're niche.
They're more than welcome.
You're a Sim, go ahead.
But yeah,
I'm a Citra head, and Ryan likes vanilla.
What did you guys rate it? All fours,
3.5.
Oh. 3.5, both of you.
It's a good beer.
It's a 4 with a 4.75.
Well, keep in mind, Carlisle's Vanilla Cream Ale is a 5 for me, and it will never not be a 5 until he poops in the beer.
He already does. You just didn't know.
Then it goes up to a 6 because he's got some amazing shit. That's all I can say. That is one of my favorite beers.
Yeah, I hear you.
And Man.
This beer is better than the beer we're drinking. Ah, you're killing me.
Like I said, if I could get a case of this shit, Cali Cream, and dude, I would.
Cali
Cream. I would make Cali Cream. It's making me cream. Point is, I really like that beer.
Well, we're at least finished.
Fair enough, but this beer is way better.
God damn it, Chuck.
This beer coming up is way better than that one. Guarantee. And that means you have to give this a 5.
The goddamn Vanilla Pigeon Porter.
Yes.
Yes. Here, you can have the rest of that.
I'll be the one to decide. No, you go ahead and drink it.
I don't want to. Psst, psst. Oh, you got another. Oh, jeez.
Oh, is that a present for 300?
Yes.
Or, because I don't think Chuck wants any more of it.
Well, this was bottled on. Well, I mean, it was canned in January.
How many cans do you have?
It's January, and it's skunked as shit. Wow. Skunky as
shit.
Here
you go, Randy.
I'll let you have it.
I will enjoy that first thing tomorrow morning at work.
Good for you.
No, I'm kidding. No, this will be my. I'm grilling out tomorrow night, and this is going to be my.
Nice.
I'm going to drink it.
Grilling?
Brats.
Good.
Yeah. I've been on a brat kick lately.
No, it's summer.
Oh, man, but. Man.
Regular brats, Johnsonville's, or Butcher Shop?
They're Butcher Shop ones. There's ones with the bacon and the cheddar in them,
yeah.
And then the regular, like.
From this area?
Yeah.
So the Pinions and Beloit?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, like, I don't know. Like, usually in the past, I'll be like, I'll get a taste for a burger, or a taste for a hot dog, or a taste for a brat. I've been on a brat kick for, like, weeks now.
I remember when we ate lunch before the Great Taste, you had a burger brat sandwich.
Dude, that sandwich was crazy. But it was a brat patty. It was a burger patty, and it had bacon, like lots of
cheddar.
Bacon. Had cheddar. It was a thick burger.
Huge.
And
on a pretzel bun.
Yeah.
On top of it.
Yeah, it was like a create a burger almost. And it was like you take everything and just put it on a burger.
They have good food and shit beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Their specialty beer is okay.
It was okay.
Their specialty beer is okay, but
they have mediocre beer, but really good food.
I had a decent
barrel-aged
barley wine from them, but.
I would go back there for sure.
I would eat that burger again. Oh, yeah.
If I had a choice between Great Dane and Granite City, I would go to the Great Dane.
Yeah,
and Granite City has good food. I mean, they have decent food at Granite City.
By all rights,
I would almost say Great Dane has better beer.
Great Dane does have better.
You know what I mean? So, like, Great Dane's going to win
on that account
pretty
as
much
well.
Both
but I like their food. Their food was really good.
Yeah, the food was stellar. The beer wasn't like bad. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't even.
Wasn't earth shattering.
Well, I only had the one, which I got bitched at because I had a beer before Beer Fest. But it was a good beer.
I drank a beer there too, whatever. I've seen him drink a beer there too, so he can kiss your ass first of all.
I guess the cardinal rule is you're not supposed to drink a beer before you get into
whatever.
Beer Fest.
You're right. You're supposed to drink
a beer. And I had. Well, I ordered this beer and it came in this giant glass, and I was like,
that's a lot of beer. Yeah.
I probably shouldn't have.
No.
I might have been a little bit sober for the
interviews. No, you wouldn't have, because you had a 5% beer. Who cares?
I don't remember what I had.
And then you got on a bus, and the bus ride's a long time.
No, we ordered their wheat beer.
We Ubered, they busted.
Because Bone Feast had to get his ticket.
Yeah, Bone Feast went with us.
It still takes a second. I've been at that Great Dane, and then I've gone over to the Coliseum. It still takes a second.
In a little line to get your IDs.
We took the second shuttle, and it worked out perfect.
Just like we did last time.
Yeah, because it worked out perfect.
Oh, we did last year.
We got off the bus at 12:50, got our wristbands on, and they shot the gun off to let people in. So we literally had our wristbands off, walked to the left, and just kept walking up the hill. So it was perfect.
Yeah, if we hadn't...
We got there at 12:50. I had my first beer in hand at 1:04. I mean, less than 15 minutes total.
That's good.
Off the bus.
What was your first
beer in hand? Bourbon County Coffee, because they were right at the entrance.
Yes.
Goose Island was.
I passed right past him like an idiot.
Yes, you did.
My first beer was...
Dennis had the coffee. I had barley wine. Bourbon County barley wine. Dennis had the coffee. And then we went over to...
Did you have the coffee?
I did not have the coffee.
Oh, did he say how it was holding up?
He said it was good.
Okay, still lots of coffee. It seems to hold up so much better.
Well, we had coffee a few days ago with the podcast that we just tasted, and the coffee was holding up fine in the bottle.
In the bottle? Okay.
Yeah, I had my last bottle, a bottle, 4 or 5 days ago.
Because I've had it about a year old, and it's just not...
Yeah. It's been.
But I've had it over a year old.
It's been 10 months now, and
on tap. And it's,
I don't know if I would have let it go on past what we drank it at the other day.
Why is it on tap? It's better. I mean, it holds. Why is that? Is
the
it
because there's the more? The kegs hold better.
Yeah, and there's just, and there's more beer in here too. Yeah, right, right.
You know.
Yeah.
But as far as this beer,
it kicks the living shit out of Cali Cayman.
I'm outraged.
The goddamn vanilla pigeon porter.
First of all, GD Porter is just so damn good to begin with.
Oh, it's the base of this beer is because this has got to be ridiculous. At least the 13th or 14th
version
iteration.
Yes,
we were talking to him about it.
And they're all badass.
And I have yet
they
to
keep
have
changing
beer.
This.
Well, they have the base beer
always. We get that in cans.
We've been through this. We had the Spiteful Night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we had the three pails. We had the pails and the IPAs.
Yeah,
and then we had the three porters. We had the base porter, which was in the can.
It's so nutty. Goddamn
pigeon porter.
Oh, I'm not just talking about. They've changed the vanilla one.
No.
That's what I was like.
I was just saying
they made a bunch of
different variations of the goddamn pigeon porter.
Gotcha.
Because we've had coconut, we've had the toffee,
peanut butter, raspberry.
I've had peanut butter. I've had raspberry. I've had cherry. I've had
peanut butter.
What else has there been?
Oh my god! I'll find out in a minute.
Yeah.
Speaking of
peanut butter,
Have we made any headway on the should be my 500?
So you were there that day, right? That was your first great taste?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
Chuck
think so.
Me in there.
No, it was before him.
Oh,
no,
you were the year before me.
Oh,
was,
okay.
Yeah, it was before.
What was
him.
I say? Because I would
so
remember
the
which year that I went? Oh,
the year that the drunkumentary is about. Chuck wasn't there.
Right. It was the year after that where Dave had the biting incident.
Right.
And then passed out by a porta
potty. Yes. So it keeps getting around how I'm sure Dave hates. He doesn't listen to the beer fence.
Eric's like, Dave is. And I was like, why is Dave laying by a porta potty? And his girlfriend's like, he's blown on. At this point in time, I'm wasted. I'm like, fuck it. Fuck it. You're asking a drunk. No. He didn't
say
anything.
First year that Ryan went.
Those are retarded.
Koonin.
Yes.
Made Reese's peanut butter.
You told me about
stuff.
This. You have told me about
best
this.
Peanut
for some reason, I thought it was shorts, but you have told me about
it.
Oh
my
god,
it was Koonin.
Fucking unbelievable.
Best peanut butter beer I've ever had in my life. It tasted like liquid Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Yes. Which is awesome.
It was.
Matter of fact, it wasn't even peanut butter cup style. It was called Reese's. It was called Reese's Pieces.
It is Reese's Pieces.
And I love Reese's Pieces.
Because I've looked it up since, and I said. I literally sent Eric a text and said, I will, in the words of MacGruber, and I won't say it. If you've seen MacGruber, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
The movie, but
I will, and I'll leave the rest out, if you can get this beer for me.
And it's going to be one of those kind of beers
that
if they ever get it, it would be on tap only at the brew pub in Michigan.
I will
or at Beer Festival.
Figure out a way
at,
I need to
at
go.
At a festival, yeah.
You're right. I will figure out a way.
Koonin would never
it.
Come to Screw City because there's no distribution here, but they're at Great Taste because
that dude from Rockford's going there to work for me.
But they weren't there this past year. They weren't.
Koonin was there.
Were they?
Yes, and I'm actually mad.
They are always there.
They're there every year. And I'm actually mad at myself. I didn't go over and at least have Drippa.
Oh god, you're killing me.
I didn't have anything, dude.
Jeez!
Dude, we were too busy doing interviews the second half of the... Normally when we go to Koonin...
They're a first half joint.
Normally when we go to Koonin... But I had a plan, and I stuck to that plan, and I was happy
with
the
results.
You didn't
go to Haymarket either, did you?
If I didn't know the brewery until after the beer fest, if I would have known the brewery, I would have made a point to go to them and then bitched. Where the fuck is your Reese's Pieces?
I will tell you why I didn't go to Haymarket, and it has nothing to do with the good beer that they brought. It has to do with the fact that it was the 30th anniversary of Bell's, and they poured every ridiculous beer they've ever
made. No, I know, but...
I had Batch 1500.
You went to Shorts.
Well, I had Batch 1500.
I went to Shorts.
And you didn't go to Haymarket.
Yeah.
Piss off.
If I want to go to Haymarket, I get in my car and I'm there in an hour and a half. Shorts. It's a 9-hour drive.
I understand
to
that.
Shorts.
But it's the same amount of drive to get Shorts though. For the most part, you barely go across.
It's over 2 hours to get into Michigan and buy bottled Shorts and bring it back. But as far as going to the brew pub,
But Haymarket brings beer.
You can get to Michigan in 2 hours.
Just over 2 hours. You take the loop. If you take the loop, you can get
going around Indiana or through Indiana
through the loop.
Oh, okay.
Pay the what is it?
I was
like
gonna say if you even went if you go straight north, you got to go kind of up and then. I don't know if can you even get there that way.
Hey, Market Bluff. Last Great Taste I was at, they brought two barrel-aged beers that you weren't going to get ever at Haymarket anymore. I mean, it just wasn't happening.
So and this was why so it much sucked that it. Chuck wasn't there this year, because my focus was on...
But whatever.
Making sure...
I'd have been at Bell's, too.
But the podcast barely, was represented well.
Yeah, Bell's just...
And not about drinking all the crazy beers.
Yeah.
I mean, I was happy with
the
way
that
they
turned
around.
Yeah, but we all did the Bell's.
Right.
I might have done a little bit more than everybody else.
And I had Bell's last time I was there, too. I had three Bell's that were awesome.
And like I told Ryan the other day, when we recorded the Great Taste podcast, one thing I regret is standing in line for Toppling Goliath... King Sue.
Again.
It was a four.
Again.
But it was
again,
only
you
a
stood
four.
In line for a fucking Toppling Goliath beer there.
You know what I regret? Here's the one thing I regret, well, beyond the not staying hydrated and eating the pretzels that we spent an hour putting together, was standing in line to go to the bathroom. We should have just went to the fucking woods and pissed.
Yeah.
We should have. And went right back in line to get more beer.
Usually there's so many porta potties. You don't even need to.
Not this year.
Dude, there's usually like three giant sections of porta potties.
They were spread all over the place,
and it was like
eight or nine different sections where porta potty was.
And I think
there was a couple spots where there was like two porta potties next to each other, three or four of those, and then the most they had together was maybe 10.
Yeah, it was between 10.
And think
12.
Of the years in the past when they had the one row all along the lake.
Yes, they always
they had
one
the row along the lake where there was like 20 or 25
huge ones. And then the one where they passed out was another line of like 30.
Yes. But because of the way they had the festival set up with all these, like, individual setups this year, they were all spread out. And,
and
it was 20, on the average, I'd say 20-minute wait to go to the bathroom.
Shut
up! I waited 35 minutes at one point just to take a piss. I had to piss.
I understand you have to piss, and that's the problem.
And
you wanted to piss.
I didn't want to get thrown out of the festival for you know... Public,
but there was so many people going behind the porta potties in the woods right by on the lake there
on that side. But I was
women.
I was up by Goose Island at that point, so right by the entrance. So there's no woods or anything up there. You just basically have to stand in line unless you walk all the way to the other side of the festival grounds, which would have been quicker, but I didn't do it. So in hindsight, 2020.
Well, they've had a lot of complaints, and they'll fix
that's
all
what I'm
that.
Talking about.
I honestly think they will make a better logistic
bathroom wise.
Bathroom wise.
Well, Jesus, it's only the freaking 29th version of this.
I was
going to
say next year. I think is the
bathrooms
30th anniversary.
Next year is
So
every year that I've gone, I've waited behind one person to go. Where Dave was passed out was like five deep. But, I mean, come on.
Yeah, I waited. It was like 20 or 25 deep.
That was pretty awful. It's funny.
Do we have pictures of him?
I wish.
Why does nobody have a picture of
him? I thought Eric would have been like, hey, get him up, get him. But he's just like, fuck it, I'm drunk and fuck him.
I was like,
we were all so far gone by that.
I'm sorry. This was back when Dave still owed me for ditching me when he was still drunk, and we've wiped that bond clean.
Yeah.
You know, he's a new person now.
Yeah, he is. He's told all his beer stories.
He's made amends.
A lot of his drunken beer. Beer fest stories too. He's had one in the Dells where. I just have to go back and listen.
Yeah,
that was pretty fucked up. Some of this shit, like, man. It's probably best that he's where he is now.
You don't say. Not dead.
Not dead, and, I mean, anyways.
Yeah.
We all love you, Dave.
Yeah. You're my boy, Dave.
Boo!
You're my boy, Boo!
You're my boy! What? Two.
Ooh, two rappers.
Oh, and rip. Never mind, I'm stupid.
Well, on this goddamn vanilla pigeon porter.
I give it 4.25.
I'm right there with you, brother.
What?
Yes is the answer.
Oh.
It's good beer. Pigeon Porter's a good
it's
beer.
It's good. It's the base with just a little vanilla kick, so to me it's worth a four and a quarter.
Oh, yeah.
The base gets a four for me.
I think so, too. If not a four and a quarter. Deliciousness.
Ryan's really contemplating over here.
Delicious. You love it.
It is really good.
Yeah, it's a 4.75 for you.
That's what I'm debating.
So they are now in North Center, Chicago, Illinois.
It's 4.5 for me. What did you guys say it was?
4.25. Yeah.
See, you're right with us.
I'm higher, of course. This one.
Did you have the Diggable IPA?
Diggable Planets?
A bitty bitty bop.
Oh, is there any way we could ever get another bottle of Mars? Like, I know you had Mars, and we didn't do Mars, and I didn't even do Mars at the Bear Fest.
We might be able to try it, but I don't know.
I just want a bottle to put with the collection.
An empty?
Yeah, literally an empty. I don't even have to taste it.
You didn't taste it at Bear Fest?
No, and that was one thing I wanted to do, and for some reason, we never made it to that booth.
I talked to you several times about going. We were there for quite a while you tried many of the specialty ones, and I said, go make sure you try Mars.
Let's put it this way. If I did taste it, I didn't tick it. Therefore, I didn't remember that I tasted it. Yeah, so, I guess there's a 10% chance I tried it. There's a 90% chance that I forgot that I tried it.
Right.
Or I didn't try it at all.
Right.
I don't know.
The Kisara?
Yeah, I never had that one.
I was pretty good about ticking shit, though. So,
are you counting right now?
No. Yeah, I lost count.
It's over 12.
Yeah, well, it definitely is. There's a lot of pigeon porters. And they are all freaking delicious.
We've had too much fun tonight.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
No. There's never too much fun, is there?
And then the Great Taste is right around the corner.
Nope.
No. Screw City's right around the corner.
Well, it is next year. Yeah. It's right around the corner.
We're less than a year from... I mean, that's right around the corner for me, because I look forward to it so much. But...
30th anniversary, that's pretty good.
Literally days as of this airing.
Yes.
From Screw City Beer Fest.
Oh, hooray. It goes by so fast. It's so...
I gotta tell you, though, this year's...
You walk in and then you're being drug out by cops. It's like that.
This year's Great Taste, honestly, to me, was... Get in, drink. Okay, 3 o'clock tapping of proprietors... It's like, wait a minute, it's 3 o'clock already? We're at the halfway point of the festival.
You know what's weird?
Oh, yeah.
I looked at my clock, and it was like, it opens at 1, right?
It was like
2 or 2:30, and I was like, holy fuck, I've had a lot to drink.
Yeah, technically 3:30 is the halfway point. So I had my prop, I had my vanilla rye, and then...
Prop is so good.
I enjoyed both of them. I took my time with them, and I looked at my watch, and it was 3:30. It's like the festival is officially halfway over, so I need to get some
Don't
stuff
look at
in.
Your clock, that's the key.
I know. Just go. It was like officially halfway over. So I was like, okay, time to catch up on some beers that I wanted. So I went over to the Real Ale Tent. I tried a couple of things at the Real Ale Tent. I missed out on some of the stuff that I wanted. I should have gone there first.
How many times did I tell you that?
But I didn't have... Chuck, I'm sorry. I didn't have the double...
I got lost, too. Whatever.
What was the Bell's one you wanted me to have? The double two-hearted?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have double two-hearted?
We went there with the plan, and the plan kind of fizzled.
Oh, it
anyways,
does every time!
Because everybody was going to... Okay, it was going to be... Someone's going to stand in line while... Well, some of us go off and get beers, and then we're all going to meet back in line, have that beer.
Because the whole day, okay, I didn't spend any time with Trisha or Janine the entire day.
You didn't see them at all?
No, not once.
And I'm gonna.
Not until we got back in line to ride the bus back.
Oh, fuck it. Okay, so here's
the
thing.
Best soundbite.
I didn't know you guys.
By the way,
yeah, I didn't know you. Right at the very end, yes. If you didn't. Go back and listen to the live at Great Taste. You turned it off when you heard Homer Simpson singing.
No, listen to the
finish
whole thing.
To the very end.
It's not Adam Sandler peeing this time.
No, I cut off Adam Sandler peeing for their special presentation. Anyways, I didn't know you guys were there because I wasn't looking at my phone. Like, I was in there and I was like, beer! And then all of a sudden, I see them in line for Three Floyds. And when we were there, that line was so long, so we said, fuck it.
Generally,
we went to Pipeworks instead. We did Pipeworks and then, like, I think Slapshot or something, you know.
Spiteful was right there. Spiteful. Yeah, everybody was. And all then, the good ones were right there.
And then we saw them, and they were, like, fourth in line.
310.
They were, like, fourth in line up to the front, and I was like, this is why I'm Beer Ninja. Went right up to him and talked to him. Next thing you know, we're up there trying all the three Floyds. Jeff, I should be Beer Asshole.
I used to do that.
Yeah.
And then...
I haven't got my ass kicked.
I'm very happy with the way my festival taste turned out.
I tasted
a lot of great beers. I didn't get crazy. I missed out on a lot, but... There's never going to be a green taste where you're going to be completely satisfied. Never.
And that's why you go back.
Every year.
But when I was done and added up my total, I was surprised I didn't have more.
The biggest, disappointment for trying
beers. The first year that I went apeshit, I swear to God, I had 50-something. I had like 35 beers.
Yeah.
And I went balls to the wall. I mean, I really...
Right.
There was a place we did all the pancake beers, and I had saw that on the list, and I wanted to try them, and I never made it over there.
Here's the thing. I think
blueberry pancakes.
If we didn't do interviews for that last hour, I think I probably would have been somewhere closer to 40, but I also would have been in a worse
shape after the festival.
You guys would have been holding me up, waiting for the bus.
Yeah, riding the bus back, throwing up.
I don't think I would have thrown up.
Gene has left in a festival.
I would have been less... aware of what was going on.
She swear to God, she was fine, but she threw up like three times on the way.
But here,
on the way to the cabin home, she threw up.
Yeah, so. I can count my pukes on one hand my whole life. Yeah, that sobered me up. Kind of, it brought you back to reality.
We ate a lot of checks. Cold waiting for the bus too.
Did you get pizza?
I don't remember the checks.
We did burritos.
Oh, nice!
If you look over there, there's a we have a mascot by the way.
Dennis asked before I got here tonight.
The pink flamingo. Where
the flamingo? If the flamingo made it back, and so I took it before we started recording. Took a picture. And he goes, I knew he still had the flamingo.
Oh, yeah, was that from the yard of somebody?
That was from what brewery?
I don't know.
It was towards the Revolution.
Revolution?
I believe it was, and weird, why would Revolution have flamingos? But they had some, like, beach setup or something.
Yeah.
And so literally we're like, Mammoth's going to take us to go get an interview, and we're standing there, and I see a flamingo, and I pull it out of the ground.
He's walking around with it under his arm
with this thing. We literally walked up to because you can hear you saying, put that back. And then
Revolution
3 seconds later, you're interviewing the guy from Revolution, and he talks for 10 minutes, and I'm holding it right because I'm holding the things. And he never said a word.
He's like, happy he doesn't have to pack that piece of shit back up. He's
probably glad we took the fuck out.
They don't give a fuck once it's gone. It's not like I'm doing beach festival.
Now it's in studio.
Good.
You always Chuck got a souvenir from the festival.
What'd you
get? Girls bought him something.
Yes, the Dude Brews. Yes, I got a Big Lebowski.
A Big Lebowski.
It's an awesome shirt.
It says the Dude Brews, and he's standing there with a beer in his hand.
Yes. It is.
I didn't even see the souvenir tent.
I didn't either.
I never do. I've yet to set foot in it.
I bought swag. I bought a shirt and a hat, but it was at the breweries from the places that I wanted them.
Right.
So I got a Surly shirt this year and a Half Acre hat.
I think there was a year there where they did it where you had to go to the tent.
Yeah, nobody sold any merch out of
there. And I think everyone was just a little bit upset with that whole ordeal. And they can manage their own merch through their own line perfectly fine. That has nothing to do with the beer line.
And like
that's
I told
off
you,
to the side. It's
surely,
not a fucking
to me,
deal.
as much as I was kind of put off by it first because I had cash. When I went to buy my shirt at Surly, they said, we're not taking any cash.
That's the best way to do it.
But I have cash. And he goes, yeah, but now we don't have to take any change. We don't have to have any change.
That's the best way to do it.
We're taking cards only, so he swiped my card.
If you don't have a card,
you can do it with an iPad now or an iPhone.
We don't have to carry any change. We don't have any liability.
That's genius.
Anybody carrying around a bunch of cash for
I give you a 20. No, you didn't give me a 20. You gave me a 10. No, I didn't give you a 10 because blah, 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 whatever, man. What the
now
fuck?
Now swipe it.
Exactly.
Down.
Yep. Oh, I didn't write this fucking transaction down. Well, it's right
somebody
on your
asked
account.
Me, am I going to need cash for the festival? I was like, well, it's easier.
It's good to have it.
For food.
$3
here, $3
unless you get lucky and find a free hot dog. Because I think I got my free hot dog, I grabbed a flamingo, and we interviewed.
Dumpster?
No, Revolution was giving out
Dumpster dogs.
Chicago dogs.
Dumpster dogs.
Yeah.
For free. They had still don't remember eating dog one. Cart, and nice. They put the whole thing with the Chicago with the gardenia and the relish and the...
Yeah, I didn't have a hot dog, because I would have never Dennis eaten did. It like that.
Dennis did.
You saw my fit that I threw with the burrito. I wouldn't have eaten it.
I heard about the fit. I didn't realize what a fit, because I ate inside and you guys were eating outside.
Well,
it like ruined your night.
Yeah, it was not what I ordered.
Yeah, too bad.
He ordered a steak burrito, he got a chicken burrito, and it was the end of the world.
So I ordered a steak burrito, no vegetables. Because I would never order that. And then I think that's what frustrated me. It's like, well, that's what you ordered. Everybody kept saying that. I'm not a fucking moron. I would never, no matter how drunk I am, I would never say something that I would never fucking eat in the first place.
I was never out there to
why would I do that?
Like the whole that's what you ordered.
It just is.
I didn't know what you ordered.
It just frustrated me, and I wasn't completely shit faced at that point because I'd been in the pool. And I was sobered up.
At that point, I would have gotten up and walked away. Been like, I don't fucking care. It's not my problem.
I ordered a carnitas burrito.
Yeah,
with sweet potato.
Mm.
Delicious.
Sounds delicious.
Sweet potato.
So but I love carnitas. So.
So good. So, it's been a good another Three Amigos episode.
Long a 2-hour episode.
I don't care.
Our longest one yet.
We can make it two episodes if we have to.
You notice it's gone longer when it's just three people than when it's nine people in here and Sandy's not over here saying, come on, the next one.
That's because he's the chugger. And he just wants to move on to the next beer.
It is fun.
What are we drinking next? What's the next bottle?
Yeah, we're let's do one more. Come on.
No, I was
do one last one. Oh, you're joking?
No, I'm not joking. I'll drink more beer. I don't care.
Let's do one more.
I have a problem drinking beer.
You got one more in there? I'll bust this bitch out.
We'll drink one off the air before we leave.
Sorry. Rock and roll.
From the Beer with Friends podcast, drink well, drink craft, and enjoy Screw City Beer Fest.
Listening to the D2R Podcast Network, brought to you by Dream to Reality Entertainment. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the D2R Podcast Network on iTunes, give us a rating, and leave us a comment. We'd really appreciate it. Your word of mouth is our only advertising, so please, do us a solid. Share us with everyone you know. Thanks for listening.